Cashback saves you money on all your online shopping. Woolworths Online, Amazon, Maya, Sorted. Visit shopback.com.au.
Now, we did just want to say thank you for the concern we got over the weekend. We did have an incident here on Friday morning. Now, you know we are giving away, and at the end of this week, we will give away Fox FM's entire CD library. One lucky listener is going to be able to – that's huge bragging rights.
Oh.
You'll get to say every CD that Fox FM have owned from the start of that radio station, I now have in my collection.
Some good ones in there too, Boxy.
There's some great ones. And Fev, the other day, we randomly picked out a Tina Turner CD to play one of her songs. You picked Nutbush City.
Nutbush.
And Fev was carving up the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, how good's a Nutbush?
It's so good. Byron joined in. I was watching you two dance.
I don't think Byron's ever done it before. Was that the first time you've done it?
He sort of, I remember it from back in the day, but Fev sort of gave me a bit of a freshen up. Yeah. And then you joined in, Fev.
Ooh. I know, I did join it. Yeah, Byron, dancing, not your thing, is it? Really?
Well, okay, hang on a minute.
A bit praying mantis-like.
Yeah, he's like real dinosaurish.
Anyway, I thought, hang on a second, back in the day I could do the Nutbush. When I say that, dancing classes, year 9 dancing classes, I was all over the Nutbush. Yeah. So I did get up to do it. And if you've seen the video, I did take what looked like a particularly nasty fall. And when you're 9 months pregnant, not a great idea. My obstetrician would not have liked to have seen that.
We actually had the incident, if you want to quickly relive it. This was the harrowing incident. People were really concerned for your feet.
We're all puffed because everyone was doing the Nutbush in here. Never attempted pregnant, I think was the lesson there.
That's more exercise than I've done in the last 9 months.
May have stumbled. Nearly spewed.
No,
are you all right? Are you actually okay?
Well, I've just drunk a can of Coke and eaten a bag of licorice, so well, it wasn't a great idea.
Now there are Nutbush, I would have thought, Fev, was one of the dances that was least likely to injure you.
Yeah, I don't. Only when you do your cross turn, that'd be the only time you could probably stumble, but it was like it was an army guy going, down, roll. You just went down. Like, what were you thinking? It was, you stumbled at the wrong, you just stumbled out of nowhere.
Because there are some dance forms that you could get injured. For instance, a few years ago, a good friend of ours, Hamish Blake, he came in, he was a guest on our show, and for some reason we ended up out on the rooftop. And he was doing the worm. And the worm.
He loves doing that, doesn't he? It's his go-to.
He's very good at it, but he did it out here on the rooftop and he ended up grazing his chin.
Oh, dear.
And then, like, taking half the skin off his face.
I'd graze my chin if I did the worm, too.
Well,
my chin hits the ground from here.
It's an enormous chin.
It's an enormous chin. I did Dancing with the Stars, Boxy, with Shannon Knoll.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to exit the actual show because he broke his back. Doing the cha-cha.
Oh, dear.
How did he do that?
It was like a lift.
Quite.
He had to do like a little lift and
it was a lift.
A disc went and he broke his back.
I mean, that's not fun.
No, it wasn't
that's
fun.
That's a serious
That was a serious injury.
Injury,
but I think he had enough.
Yeah, so
he was actually pumped.
No, was he in the cha-cha?
The cha-cha. You hurt yourself.
Yeah, I fell down the stairs. I wasn't even dancing.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, you were going to dance, weren't you?
I was walking. John Deeks was saying my name. And welcome to the stage, Fifi Box and her dance partner, Paul Green. And then we walked down the stairs and tumbled.
Yeah.
And I took him down.
This was a worry. This was from Fifi's season of Dancing with the Stars. And who knew dancing was so many examples of it being so dangerous.
You were coming down to the music and all of a sudden, it was quite dramatic. We were very, very seriously concerned about you because you fell face first down the stairs. Seeing that back, how did they packed it in ice?
I had x-rays and the doctor, we've got it heavily strapped and I'm on painkillers. And
right.
The doctor hasn't given the okay yet, but hopefully. Okay.
That was 10 years ago, back in the day when they just drug you to get you on the telly. Like, I clearly was not fit for television.
Your voice is similar to the 2GBD down at Murray days.
They gave you so many drugs.
Maybe you had your milk. You would have been right.
30, 10, 60. What specific dance dance move injured you?
Oh, like okay.
Let's get specific about this. It's not just I hurt myself dancing. What was the move that got you?
Well, limbo is a dangerous sport.
Absolutely.
I don't know if anyone might have hurt themselves.
I did the limbo and roller skates at the roller skating rink.
Yeah.
That was the best.
I don't like the limbo.
Okay, well, that's just your view on the limbo.
Because it discriminates against people who aren't flexible.
I used to hold the...
I'm not particularly flexible.
When you used to go down the Dandong skate rink on a Friday night for like a disco night, I'd hold the pole with like a mate. and all the good-looking chicks, you just, like, lift it up. You go, oh, you got through. Like, try to flirt. Never worked.
Well...
Actually, that was a good place to be, holding the pole.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. 131060. But enough about your days at 3GG. 131060. Let's call right now. If you think you've got a dance-based injury for us, 131060 is the number here at the Fox.
1019. The Fox. The Fox.
We've just asked the question, what specific dance move injured you? Now, I've got Karen from Torquay. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how you going, Sue?
Good, Karen. Karen, did you get out on the dance floor and try a move that maybe was a bit above you?
Yeah, I should have thought a bit more carefully about it, but I was at a fundraising event called Disco Bingo at our local soccer club, and I'd been dancing on platform shoes all night and was very mindful of not twisting my ankle, and then at the end I thought, actually, I'll better take these shoes off. And I thought, actually, I might finish off with a sweep like I used to do in the good old days. And as I was going down on the carpet, I heard a huge rip up the back of my hamstring, successfully completed the sweep, and everyone was clapping me and thought it was amazing, but that I just could not get up.
Rather
embarrassing.
Did you tear something?
Yeah, I tore my hamstring.
Tore you actually tore it.
I tore a hammy. I had bruising from my knee to my butt cheek, and I still haven't recovered 100% from it.
At least you've got a great story to tell. Hey, how does bingo, what did you say you were?
A disco bingo.
Disco bingo, how does that work? Yeah. That sounds like heaps of fun.
Yeah, it is heaps of fun. It's a fundraising event that we did every year, and you basically get into teams and have bingo cards, and it's all about music background. So, yeah, it's quite competitive. But at the end, of course, there's dance-offs and all sorts of
things.
Actually, Karen, you just reminded me, you'll have heard this story before, when I was in year 10 trying to show off to the Yarra Valley Boys, Mysterious Ways by U2 came on. Remember I've told you the story?
Oh,
and I was dancing on a table, and the bit where Bono goes, if you want to touch the sky, better learn how to knees on your knees, boy. And I decided to jump up in the air and then jump, like, bend my knees, but I forgot to open them out again, and I smashed my kneecaps on the floor. That was a specific dance floor that move that hurt.
How the Yarra Boys like that one?
No, I didn't pick up that night. The guy I really liked ended up with Fiona Stewart.
Oh, bloody fee.
At least we gave Fiona Stewart a name check.
Together.
Did they?
Okay.
Yeah. Coral in Doreen. Hi, Coral.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Coral. Coral, what dance move got the better of you?
Well, I decided at my girlfriend's surprise 40th it would be a good idea to pole dance on wooden pergola posts and ended up with splinters in my feet.
Oh, youchie!
Oh, that really hurt.
Yes.
Carl, how many splinters out of interest?
I don't know.
Jeez. I mean, a pole for a pole dance, you would imagine, would be a very specific product. That does not sound like an official pole.
What sort of pole would it be, Bob?
No, I'm just saying, that you don't want splinters on a pole.
Splinters. I was thinking about splinters recently. Splinters are a real kid thing to get, aren't they? You don't get them much as adults.
No,
you don't.
Hopefully you're not going up and down wooden poles.
Depends if you get well.
So anyway, there we go. Thanks for your call there, Coral.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Coral.
Bit of chat there. It's 32. Are you're
she's
done?
Out.
Yeah, she's lying on the couch.
Went out
she's waiting for James Lake in the news.
1019. The Fox.
The Fox. Hey, Fev, did you see the goss come out on the weekend?
Which one?
The goss regarding Mariah Carey and James Packer, their breakup. You know what? I'm not a big fan of goss.
No, but this
particularly private, personal stuff.
This is a gift that keeps giving, though.
Well, and I don't know what to believe because sometimes I just think this is rubbish. But the reports on the weekend were that Mariah may have in fact hooked up with her current boyfriend, Brian Tanaka, the dancer that she dances with on stage, whilst she was in that relationship with James. Now,
do you watch Mariah's show?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I watch it.
Oh, what do you make of this then?
Well, they've obviously got a real good connection, and I reckon they've hooked up. I reckon.
Do you think he's though a young toy boy that's gone? This woman.
No,
is
but it's
minted.
Been going on for a long time, so I think that she actually finds him. She likes him, and he likes her.
I bet she likes him. Yeah. Isn't it? He just used to money now.
Yeah, but
quite comfortable.
But he's been living that life for a while because he's been a backup dancer. So, but I reckon he actually does like her.
Well, that's great. Okay,
that's
love
what
it.
I think.
You've watched the show, so you know best.
I tell you what, that's the most airtime Brian Tanaka has ever received.
Well,
not what, on, he's on Mariah.
What's interesting,
a lot.
And I tend not to believe this, but there are reports that came out over the weekend that James was so unhappy about this relationship that Mariah started with her backup dancer that he used his casino contacts to have Brian banned from Caesar's Palace.
Oh,
I love
so
that.
So this guy can't get into the casino in Vegas.
B. Tanaka. He's on the watch list.
JP's gone, no, you're not getting in. And when you're a billionaire, I mean, I think that the strings you could pull as a billionaire.
So good.
But, okay, forget billionaires, Fev.
Well,
no, I'm what saying about... that'd be so good. I love that power play. That's the best.
I know, but can we strip it back? Because we're not all billionaires.
No.
Can we strip it back to, like, just work?
Millionaires, where you are?
No. Multi-millionaires.
No, like, just work powers. When you've got powers at work, like, I'm just trying to think, have I ever had a power at work? Like, the only thing I can really relate to...
Are you for real?
No, is when I used to work...
We have several producers that have been fired because you asked for it.
No.
People along that line there are all just...
That's
off the
not
plank.
True.
No, that's not true. Not true.
That is not true.
Where'd that producer go? Oh, Fee pushed him off the plank again.
No, but
into
I.
The sharks.
Stop making fun. This is just silly.
Sorry.
I don't have any power here. But I reckon when I was working the Black Thunders, I had more power. No, because you could be. You'd
is that
be
when
out of
Stick Maribo.
No, I don't. No, I don't know who that
she
is.
Didn't work with Stick Maribo.
It's a different radio station. No, but.
Yeah. Okay, push on. What was your power as a Black
well,
Thunder?
Well, no, I just feel like when you turn up to... So if you say, hi, it's Black Thunder Driver 13 here and I'm turning up at... I'm at Gels Park in Glen Waverley. Come along and I'll give you some icy cold can of Coke. Then when people come and if there were people there that were rude or you didn't like, you would pull your power and you'd go, oh, I'm just opening the esky. Ah, we've run out. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
That's an example of abusing your work powers.
Oh, I like this. Okay.
131060, we would love to hear from anyone who has maybe abused their work powers. And particularly, look, I'd love to hear from someone because of a love relationship. Like maybe there was a guy at work that stole your girlfriend and you're like, right, I'm going to give you the worst shifts possible. Like if you're in charge of a roster.
This is juicy. All right. We'll see how we go on 13.
It's a good way to get revenge.
Well, when I worked at Macca's, the manager used to always put me on wash up because she had the hots for me.
Oh.
Used to hook up.
Oh,
well, that's
wow.
Abusing her work. So hang on. She'd put you on wash up, which meant what? You'd hang back.
Yeah, you'd just be there at night. Like it's from 11 till 12.
She was totally abusing her work powers.
Yeah, I loved it though.
Okay. Wow.
I loved it.
So you weren't complaining to HR?
No.
All right.
Please no. There's no 2525.
Yeah, okay. No, that's the number for our HR department. call us up right now. That's our internal extension. 131060, call us right now if you've got an example of this on The Fox.
1019. The Fox.
Now, right now, though, we're talking about when you abuse your power at work. And, you get a little power trip no matter what your job is. You might be given some authority in some way, shape or form. You might be the person who's putting rosters together and there might be people that are rude to you and you just decide they get the worst shifts. Or like Tess in Altona. Hi, Tess.
Hello.
Tess, I believe that you're a waitress, and I believe that the waiting industry have so much, you've got so much power.
Yeah.
Because you're control, you're the cold front with our food. You can do anything.
And drinks.
Exactly right.
So tell us, when have you, what's an example of how you've abused your power?
So currently I work graveyard shifts, and from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. I am the only one serving drinks at that time.
Ooh, you're powerful.
Right. And what do you do with that power, Tess?
Yeah, so if a customer is rude to me or has been rude to one of my staff members in, like, previously in the night or for whatever reason, I can just say, oh, sorry, I'm really busy. I have too many drink orders at the moment.
You can just cut them off.
Or, Tess, why don't you just go out the back for a nap?
Yeah, so that... There's also sales as well.
I just go.
Yeah, no, that's a very
good
point.
Because at 4, if you're at Crown, there's not many places you can have a drink.
Or wherever
you've
she
works. You've got to be real. Yeah. She said Crown, didn't
could
she?
Could be anywhere. No, she didn't. Who knows where she works?
It says I'm a waitress at Crown.
Thank you, Tess.
It was typed, but it wasn't said out loud.
The power.
She said she works at Graveyard.
Steph in Roxburgh Park. Hey, Steph.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Steph. Steph, what sort of power do you have in your workplace?
So pretty much I'm in retail and I am second in charge on a Monday. So you pretty much know when a customer is going to waste your time. And
what are the signs? What are the signs?
What are the signs? Okay, so this situation, we had a guy try on probably maybe 15 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
And, it was just like, what about this one? What about this one? You got my size? You got my size? And then by the end of it, I was like, no, don't have your size.
So, when I was working in the jewellery and watch department at Maya at Eastland out in Ringwood, I would occasionally get put into the shoe department. And that is a great one. There's so many racks out there. When you go out to look for something,
just
someone's
there.
Been rude to you, I'm just going to sit down and eat some chocolates that I've got back
have
here.
Have a puff.
Always have snacks out in the shoe department.
Okay, good tip. Thank you. 101.9
The Fox. 2PC. Make way for the fun police.
What are you doing? You can't say that.
I tell you what, the fun police fired up Melbourne yesterday. The news stories you would have read across yesterday's papers and online. AFL fans are outraged because behavioural awareness officers are now patrolling the crowds at AFL games. So on Friday night's game between Essendon and Hawthorn at Marvel Stadium, they had guys and maybe some girls. This photo I've got was two men wearing a vest, and on it says behavioural awareness officer. And they're there to report antisocial behaviour and evict people from the games. Now, it's an interesting one because I don't like disgusting behaviour. I don't like the yelling out. When I'm at the football, I don't condone that behaviour. I don't really want my daughter to see that behaviour. I don't like it. But when you've got officials patrolling a crowd and listening to what people say and kicking them out, it's a little bit Handmaid's Tale, everyone. If you haven't seen
no,
The Handmaid's Tale.
No, I haven't seen that, no.
Well, okay, sorry. Please. It's a very popular television show that's really about what happens to society when you go this far.
Right.
So suddenly you would be, you'd be stoned. The next step would be you'd be stoned to death for saying something.
I can
that
see
no
that
one
out front of Marvel, just people getting stoned.
Underneath the big Thor hammer.
You said a swear word. Bang!
The Handmaid's Tale takes it a bit far, but I mean, Fev, Melbourne, and 131060, we will open the phone lines because Melbourne, AFL is our game. It's our sport. These are our matches. We love getting out there. How do you honestly feel about people with vests patrolling a crowd, listening to what you say, and maybe kicking you out if they don't agree with what you say?
It's very big brotherish, isn't it, Boxy?
Yeah.
And I'm all for the, you know, I don't like PC. I don't like the PC world. I'm just a... straight down the line, a bit old school, I suppose. But, you know, when they're walking up and down, I think it's quite intimidating watching the people walk up and down because you're not focused on the footy. I think it should go back. Like, security should be there only for the violence. And there's been a lot of violence in the crowd of late, people punching on. And you don't attend a football game, to start fights or to get into brawls, which is ridiculous. So therefore, they should be kicked out. Remember the old days, like when you go to a local footy game, they have a wet area and a dry area? Because this is mainly comes down to alcohol.
Yeah.
It does. And I'm not trying to be one of these PC, but they should have a dry area and a wet area. So if you want to go to the footy to drink, you buy tickets to go into the wet area where you can drink.
Yes.
Or you can go into, because with family and kids, you don't want people swearing.
No, there's always idiots.
There's always idiots in the crowd. And that's been going on for 100 years, last 50 years, I suppose. But I think that at the cricket, they have a phone number that comes up onto the scoreboard to text if someone's, you know, being really vile.
Gone too far.
And I don't know if they do that at the footy or not, because I don't really go to footy games. I hate going to the footy.
They do say report antisocial behaviour on the big screen, Fee, but obviously this takes it to a completely new level.
But there's violence and there's aggressive behaviour. This could be just you yell out something that they don't like you yelling out.
Yeah, but when you do that, like just say you yell out something and I text, I'm in row C, seat 3, you know, this person's swearing. Okay, text that.
Yeah.
But then the people keep an eye on you, and if you keep going and you be really aggressive, well, then you probably get kicked out because you don't want that. But one person saying one thing, like to the umpire, you're a bald-headed flog. I hope, mate. Many things I've been called on the footy ground.
I thought that, like,
my God,
I
got spat on by a cheer squad member in the Collingwood. You can see it in the footage. Spits on me. And I'm like, oh, you can't, especially as a player, you can't have that happen. But I used to love standing in the goal square and the cheer squad just yell out stuff and hammer you. Like, that gets you up and about. That's the old school footy. You got your team, your opposition team, and they banter, as long as it doesn't turn into violence, which it is.
Mm.
But having people walk up and down the frigging aisles, like, come on. I reckon the
it's like having hall monitors.
It is. It's like being
at school. What are you going to say?
No, but the thing is, if they walk past me, I'll be like, oh, yeah, they're gone. Say it. Then they come back, you'd be like, mate, what are you doing?
Good point.
It's ridiculous.
Those cheer squad members now that used to get you a bit up and about by firing you up, someone in a vest would now remove them.
They would remove them, which is ridiculous. Yeah. Chappelle, at the end of the day, Boxy, football is not Gil McLaughlin and the AFL's game. It's a fans game. It's a supporters game. And without the supporters, there will be no football. They're not going to make their millions and millions of dollars. And I probably don't even know why I'm going to say this, but Joffa, who's very, he's a Collingwood supporter.
Yeah,
that stands by. He puts
fan.
A big Collingwood fan. He's a super fan. I agree with him.
Wow.
Don't go to the footy. Boycott it. Watch it on TV. It's better anyway on
TV. Well, this is the hardest thing for the PC police in this situation, I believe, Fev, is that people are passionate about this game. I'm a screamer. I'm a yeller. Now, I'm not, I don't swear, and I certainly am not rude or discriminate, but I get so passionate.
What do you say? Oh, by jolly, well, Western Bulldogs. Pass the ball.
So it's a tough one because we are so passionate about our game, but our passion's going to go back to our lounge rooms because we don't know what to do with it at a football game.
I think the AFL world, Boxy, like the hierarchy, have lost sight that it is our game. It's a supporters' game.
Well, 13-10, it's a game for the people. Let's hear from the people. It is. It's your game, Melbourne. How do you feel about these behavioural awareness officers monitoring?
Just the name of them.
You know what we should do?
Walking up and down the stairs monitoring behaviour.
Unbelievable.
For a game this weekend, we should just have a big party at like my house and all the supporters should come there and you can say whatever you want.
Oh.
And then no one turned up to the game.
13-10-60. We've got lots of calls already coming through. We'll take them next.
101.9. The Fox.
The Fox.
Well, we're talking about the big topic that hit the news yesterday because the AFL on Friday revealed their monitors, their people, employees in security vests, saying behavioural awareness officers. Now, they're patrolling the crowds at football games and anyone who's showing antisocial behaviour, they will eject. It's interesting, Fev, we're going to go to the phones and hear what Melbourne think about this. But they've always had security guards. I've been to football matches and watched people get kicked out by security guards.
Yeah.
So
they've always had them there.
Now they've just got a vest.
They've got a vest on. But it's just little things. Like, I think it started earlier in the year, but the umpire getting called a bald-headed flog, which is funny. That's all right.
I've been called worse things. I feel like I've heard a lot worse.
But he's come out and pointed the guy out. It's like, come on, mate. You know, just thick skin. Like, I've literally been called everything from my partner getting abused on the ground, as in, like, Alex.
I bet.
Your family members, yourself. Got called a big fat wog one day.
Gee.
And it threw you off your game, didn't it?
It did. I missed the goal. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, you're pretty thick skin, and the players say a lot of things. What's it going to get to a point where you have a go at an umpire and you get kicked out of the ground?
Yeah,
because a lot of players, are, like, they abuse each other. They abuse opposition. They abuse umpires. What if it's good for them to not, like, if they say something and the patron gets kicked out for saying the same thing, well, the player should as well.
Good point.
Well, that's interesting. Like, you're right, Fev, because behavioural awareness officer, that's up to that officer to decide which behaviour is appropriate and not. So, Melbourne, what do you think about this? We've got Michelle from Eden Park. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, Michelle. Now, where do you stand on the behavioural awareness officers?
I think this is bloody ridiculous. Leave the footy alone. Let's just go to the footy and enjoy it like we have been for the last 100 years. Just getting sick of it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, there you go.
Same page.
That's perfect.
Thank you, Michelle. We appreciate your feedback.
Very fired up about it. Carly in Melton. Hi, Carly.
Good morning, guys. I'm a person that goes to the football at least 10 to 15 times every single year. And there has not been one week this year where I have not raised my eyebrow at people around me for the continual, like, disgusting language. I've even sat there and heard people racially vilify players, and that's just not good enough. Even when you do text in, by the time you get there, they see the officers, and then they stop. And as soon as they leave, they start again. So they've got to have a bit more of a presence there. Like, if you take your children to the football, you don't want them to be around that.
And then, no, I agree with that.
Not, and they're not going to take their
family to the football.
Do you think, and Carly, it's gotten worse? Is that your observation?
100% worse. Like, I'm the person that gets a little bit rowdy at the football, but there's a line. Like, you can be passionate without being a moron.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Carly. And you know what, Carly, I've always thought that most people are just passionate and they're just screaming for their teams and they get frustrated with their teams.
Well, my husband even likes to, oh, you're turned to a crazy person at football, but you know where your line is. But yeah, you can be passionate without
being a moron. I loved what you said before.
Do you reckon Boxy, it gets highlighted more now because the public, as in the media, are highlighting it more, so therefore morons go to the footy to try get noticed because they know they're going to get kicked out. You know, if you swear,
they want
they want the attention. If it's those things, if you don't highlight it, it won't happen as much.
Well, Carly raised a good point, though. Yeah, I worry now. How much power do these behavioural awareness officers have? So, as Carly said, you dob in someone, you go, this guy, he's got to go. He's just, his language is out of control, and there are kids around. Yeah. So then they come, and then he behaves himself. And can they even, like, these officers could end up being targets.
They'll get
called names. Yeah. And just,
Theory there, though, but according to Carly, is Fief, they should just sort of lurk the whole time. But then, then you're monitoring 45,000 people.
Mm. Why don't we make it like the Truman Show and there's just cameras everywhere?
There already is cameras everywhere.
We've got, thank you for your opinion, Carly. Joe in Greenvale. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Firstly, I'd like to start off with, I'm a Carlton supporter. Yes, I'm a huge Fev fan and come back Fev any day.
Thank you.
No problems. It's a joke. Sorry. I have gone to the football for 40 years of my life. This is the first year I have refused to go to one game.
Is that because Carlton's crap?
No, because I'm passionate about my boys and I'll cheer them on. But that's the thing. I cheer my boys on. I will scream ball. I will scream all that stuff. And then I'll hear the person beside me screaming abuse. And not much is done. And I think to myself, what a joke. That's a joke. They should be monitoring the alcohol intake of these people, not what's coming out of their mouth as such. If they're being vulgar, get them out. But if they're being passionate and cheering, I say to the umpire, go get your contacts checked out all the time.
Well, the day you're dragged out of the field for saying that is the day that we should just all go home.
And you commented on an umpire's hairline. I think that's where they got into trouble with the last time.
But don't you think it's a joke? Like, seriously, I've been going to the local football and I cheer for not only my son's team but the other team. It gets them excited. They love it. It's not abuse. It's giving them encouragement. Fev, you know, you were a player. Did you used to get all high and, you know, you used to get excited over the players saying the supporters cheering you?
Yeah, I did, Joe. If the opposition player potted me, to get me up and about.
Ooh.
So if they didn't say anything to me, I used to hate it. So I used to prod them to like pop me.
Actually, we should hear more from the players because we just assume you don't like the abuse being hurled at you. But now you as a very
mate, do you know how many times I got booed when I played, especially interstate? Because I was a good player. They go, boo, and I'd be like, yes, I'm on. And recognise me.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Hey, can we talk about your weekend, Fev?
Yeah,
because you had a fun day on Saturday.
Mm.
And look, everybody in their lifetime, hopefully at some stage, whether it's an auction for a house or a flat or an apartment, or maybe even just I used to go to auction houses for bits of furniture.
Selling one of your kids off.
I'll never forget when I used to, I've stopped it now, but I used to go to those antique houses.
That's right.
And you'd put your hand up and you'd bid for a coffee table. And
like that show Antique, that show.
Antique Roto.
Yeah.
But the problem, auctions, I believe with an auction, you need to go in with a plan and you need to stick to it. And you went to an auction on the
Friend. I did. It's my first ever auction I've been to.
Oh, how exciting.
Because we just never went to any auctions that we've been to previously, but we went to this one.
Oh, you mean you'd get someone to go in for you?
Go in.
Gee,
well,
big dog.
Well, if the Favolas turn up, the
that's what I thought. I tried to do a big power play. Anyway,
what's this for? What are you buying?
A house.
Well, it's massive.
Yeah, and anyway, so Al was like,
that's not a coffee table.
The day before, Al was like, this is what we're going to spend, and I'm not going over it.
And hang on, was that Al or you?
Al, well, she's the boss. She's got all the money. That
trying to tell you not to go over something must be fun.
But and as she said, I said, "Hun, I'll be fine." But she let me know. You're the one that brought a $14,000 trip to Fiji that was not that much at an auction, and then you brought a Maff's wedding ring the other week at an auction. It's not like an auction at a charity function, Brendan. This is a real life auction. So if you put your hand up for a lot of money, you have to pay. Anyway, so we get there and there's a few people there, which we shouted about. Like, yeah. God, because we thought we'd be able to get it like at a good price.
You didn't think anyone would want it.
No. There's one guy we're bidding against. So it was just me and him, back and forth, me and Al. Anyway, I was real quick. That was my theory. I went in. I'm like, as soon as you say we'll be up by 10 grand or 5 grand or whatever the bid is, just straight up. As soon as he bid, straight up. Just show like real authority. Boom, boom, boom. Anyway, then he started to go down like 2.5. I thought, oh, we got this. He's starting. So we went back up to 5. Bang, 5, like real quick. And I was like, yep. Anyway, he take ages. I don't know what the strategy is in an auction boxy. He'd take, like, we'd be literally straight up, bang, first bid. And he'd sit there for like 5 minutes on the phone with his little greasy little.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and he'd be like, sit there for ages, and the auctioneer would go, and going once, and going twice. Yeah. You know, he takes ages to do that. Third and fourth, he'll go, 1,000. I'm like, mate, why don't you just do it at the start? Like,
why is he doing that, Fev? Do you know why he would be balking?
Well, it'll be a technique. Right. See, I'm with you, Fev.
I'm just straight away.
Can you tell the actual story, though? Did you get the property?
No, we got to the point where we didn't want to, that's like a limit, because we're going to do certain things to the house, and anyway. Alex was like, no more. And I was like, so shattered. Like, my pride was gone. I'm like, God, because I could just tell he wanted to beat me.
I know. See, that's the thing.
With his cheesy little grin.
I reckon your technique.
I was, mate, Byron, I was filthy. I get in the car and Alex goes, honey, I'm so proud of you that you didn't, you know, your ego. And I was like, let's just go home.
But I reckon, I think your technique's the best. My technique in an auction would be to go, and show, don't flinch. And outpsych them.
Well, that's what we did. But then the last two bids, Schnooksy said, hang on a second, give us some time. We showed weakness. I reckon we showed weakness. We took our time for the last two bids.
Or can I make you feel better about this? At the end of the day, it's whoever's prepared to spend more.
Oh, I mean, they spent more.
Like, no, but what I mean is whatever game he was playing, he was prepared to spend more.
Yeah.
So that makes you just sleep better at night. But
no, it doesn't.
But 13-10-60, why don't we share some auction techniques, because Fev is keen. Is he in the property market? Wants to get in amongst it.
Mm.
Maybe you are looking at purchasing something, and it doesn't have to be. As we said, this isn't just about flats, apartments, houses. This can be just you like the auctions for furniture. I'm trying to think what they're called.
Just
I used
hacks.
To go to them. What were they called?
I did
called?
Tell the kids when I got home.
Auction houses.
Yeah. The kids were pretty excited. They were like, "Oh, did we get the house?" And I said to Lulu, "Oh God, honey, no, we didn't." She goes, well, where are we going to live? I said, it's right near Dendy Park. I said, you've got a great backyard. We'll pitch some tents. We'll use the public toilets. First thing, how am I going to use my computer and my iPad?
Oh. Let's see how we go with some...
You can get powered caravan sites.
Mate, you
great
could,
idea. Yeah, there's a backup plan for you. 13-10-60, call us
with Byron
right now with your auction tips on The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
We're talking auction techniques because Fev... went to an auction on the weekend, and I thought your technique was strong.
Yeah, I thought it was strong.
But you
too.
Missed out.
Yeah, I think we showed weakness towards the end.
Maybe that's it. See,
we didn't need to be weak.
But even Fev, there's the how long do you wait to get in? Because people say don't start early, start halfway through.
Oh no, he's pointy end. But the auctioneer guy at the start was like, it's going to sell. There's no halftime break. We're not going back in. We're going to sell the house today.
Yeah, but don't believe him either.
Bid.
See?
Oh, really?
No, he's just saying that.
But there was only me and him bidding. There was only
two
people.
Well, that's the tough thing. Yeah. Look.
I was waiting for someone to come in, you know, like on the block, and someone comes in and goes, bang. Like, I would have been wrapped if someone did that, because then I wouldn't have felt so bad. I'm like,
I've got a great idea. Next time, why don't you just speed up in your car and just get out halfway through and then just start throwing figures around? Like, really cowboy.
I did rock up in the car. I dressed well. I thought I was looking on. Like, I really
don't think it matters how you dress. It's more what price you put forward. I don't think it matters what suit you're wearing.
It's intimidation.
Right.
I tried to, but I got smacked.
Sam, we've got Sam in Bundoora. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys, how are we?
Yeah, good, Sam. Sam, any good auction techniques?
Yeah, so what I did is back in 2017, I brought my brother, his four mates, myself and my two mates, and we all had beers. So you got to look really angry and aggressive and then just stroke your beard and people get intimidated and end up winning the auction.
I took my wife and a baby, so probably why I lost.
Yeah, you need to get a bit harder, a bit more street cred. Fief, I got a DM sent to me. Does this sound legal? Get a friend of a friend to bid.
Yeah, no, we're going to do that.
You stop at a certain price, but you got to act like you don't know each other.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
You have a fake bidder.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I've had a fake bidder. I was going to take Mum, but then Mum probably would have brought it if Mum was there.
Rebecca.
But that's
in
a good technique.
Okay. Hey, Rebecca.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Rebecca. Rebecca, do you have any tips for Fev auction techniques?
Yeah, look, Fev, I don't have any auction techniques because we were the actual other bidders against you on Saturday. Oh. My husband.
Oh, you were there.
I was the person on the phone.
Oh, you're on the phone. God, I hated you. Why did you take so long?
Because I couldn't hear, and that's why it took so long. My husband didn't have a strategy, and when we heard that you were there, I was just like, oh, no.
God.
Yeah, so sorry.
No, Rebecca, talk us. This is great. Oh, this is like finding out the goss, like what actually happened on the day.
What would you have gone to?
So, Beck, you had no strategy.
not that amount.
Because
you paid too much.
No. Look, we're happy with what we
got. Oh, I think you paid too much.
Thanks, Fev.
Because of Fev.
No, because we literally had a limit, and he went, I don't think he went up. Your husband went up 1,000 more, and we just said we're out.
I think that was it. And yeah. I think that was our last one. We went.
I knew that was your last one. Oh, my God, this makes me so angry.
It was your dream home, Fev.
No, it wasn't a dream. We're knocking it down.
Oh.
It didn't matter.
Rebecca, do you plan on bulldozing the home?
Yeah, they're going to bulldoze it too.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. They're doing the same thing.
How about that? You were $1,000
away. Those trees are no good out the back, Rebecca. Fair. You're going to have to worry about them.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, thanks for that auction tip.
Big trees, Rebecca. You're going to have to build around them.
Shopback saves you money on all your online shopping. Woolworths Online, Amazon, Maya, sorted. Visit shopback.com.au. 101.9